Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Welcome into 20th and Blake here on the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. I am your host, Drew Kreisman, and as always, I'm excited to be talking Colorado Rockies baseball with you here on the show. And I got a mailbag episode for you. You had questions, I've got answers, such as they are. And we're going to be going through a number of different topics with this team, ranging from the very, very large to a couple of pretty specific single-player questions. Before I get to your questions, though, I do need to tell you about our friends over at Bet Online, your number one source. The NBA and NHL playoffs, sorry, I hope you're still watching, sorry. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to the online casino, get in on a game of blackjack or a game of poker, unwind with one of over 150 slot games. Head to the website today, get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. All right, let's get right to the questions. Tim asks a question I recently wrote about, even with the recent winning streak. The Rockies are on pace to win 52 games this season. Is there reason to think they could be significantly better than that, or is this who they are? Short answer? I don't know. let's get into that a little bit deeper, because I do think that this is, it really is one of those things that could go either way. And I as I wrote, there, that seven-game winning streak didn't prove anything, really. It didn't prove that they're fixed or that they're going to play a better brand of baseball throughout the rest of the season. That said, there were several things that happened during that seven-game stretch that I think are indicative of the beginnings of change. And I understand that I'm very soft-footing into that, but that's where we are in the timeline, right? We are barely into the Jordan Beck era, and I'm going to talk more about that in a minute, right? We are barely into even things like, you know, Victor Vodnik experiencing his ups and downs and being one of the trade guys from last year. But I think ultimately the Rockies are probably still going to be a 100 loss team. And I think ultimately that that is still best for them in the long term, because I think one more really, really good draft from them will put them in a position where they can't just be more competitive a couple of years from now, but where they really could open up a window of contention for several years if these pitchers with Chase Dolander, Sean Sullivan, Carson Palmquist all doing some interesting and fantastic things. You add a few more names into that mix. They've got a few other guys on the farm who are starting to do some interesting things. So I just think they need more of those. In the long run, though, the way it goes the other way is if you do, and if Jordan Beck just pops, that's all of a sudden a thing that you've got that you weren't necessarily counting on coming into the year, right? Another thing that you've got right now that you weren't necessarily counting on coming into the year, and I wrote about this in the article, Austin Gomber has just quietly been very good for about a full season's worth of games now, going into midway through last year, and now sitting at a 152 ERA plus so far this season. And so Cal Quantrill, who we're going to talk about here in just a minute, it's not coming out of nowhere, right? That's the thing that I guess I wanted to write about and mention again, is that while I still think the Rockies are likely to, you're going to have your ups and downs when your team is young and or inexperienced and or going through transition, and a lot of what we're going to talk about here in a minute. So I think the Rockies could play better over the next month or so, but I also think, as I just alluded to, we're about to talk about, there's going to be a decent amount of activity at the trade deadline, which is smart, good for your long-term future, but will, in the immediacy, almost certainly make you worse. If you trade both of your catchers, right, who are both hitting well, who are both veterans, who are not on long-term deals, who probably aren't a part of your long-term future, with Drew Romo hitting the absolute cover off of the baseball in AAA, it just makes a lot of sense. I doubt they'll trade them both, but I kind of hope that they do. And if they do, that does make you worse in the immediacy. That means you will probably lose more games in 2024 than you would have with those guys on your roster. And so I also expect that to happen a bit, as it did a year ago, right? So, no, I don't think you... Here's what I will say. We are going to see stretches like those seven games throughout the year. So if you're one of the person, and I know, Tim, that you are, who watches every game or most of the games regardless, but the question really is there going to be another stretch like this where we can actually just enjoy watching the ball games? Yeah, I think there are going to be a few of them. And they're going to come when, you know, the young guys are playing well, and that's going to be exciting. So I do think you're going to see a better brand of baseball throughout the year. We're going to see more big league debuts throughout the year, and that type of stuff's going to be there. But yeah, I still think they're going to lose, you know, if not 100, close to, or maybe it'll be 105, but it's going to be around there, you know. So, all right, before we look more specifically at the trade deadline with some of these questions, I did want to talk about this one here from the Twitter from Colby. So the Rocks have a very interesting decision coming soon with what to do with Beck once Bryant and Jones return. I would assume both Beck and Goodman will be sent down, but any chance Beck stays, it looks like he's starting to figure it out. I got to add another part to this from Derek, which is funny because I responded to Colby saying there's a lot of layers to this one, and I'm looking, so we're going to be here for just a minute. And Derek adds another layer immediately on Twitter saying, I'd like to add one. What about Monty being sent down? Because he doesn't seem to be able to figure out being more than a 230 hitter and doesn't have enough power or defensive flexibility to validate being the primary first baseman. So maybe Beck stays and Bryant plays mostly first. So there are a lot of moving pieces to this, right? And I do think that, you know, what I assumed was going to happen when Beck first got called up was the first thing that Colby said, which is that when Bryant and Jones were back, assuming those timetables were what they told us at the time, which they've turned out to largely be, I assumed Beck and Goodman would both go back down. Goodman, I think, you know, God, he's in a rough spot. Like a lot of these guys, Goodman, Monty, Tolia, have all been in this position where when they go to AAA, they hit incredibly well. When they come up, they don't. They also have tended to struggle to get regular playing time, and that becomes a bit of a chicken or the egg conversation. Are they not getting playing time because they aren't playing well, or are they not playing well because they're not getting playing time? Which one of those guys do you most believe in could figure it out? I do agree, however, with the assessment that right now, Beck is the guy who is showing the most promise for immediate improvement. And if it was up to me, I would keep him in the outfield getting everyday at bats. But that's going to be difficult to do if you're committed to playing Chris Bryant and Charlie Blackmon when Bryant returns, right? So that is one of those situations where, you know, at the beginning of the season, you could make the argument that neither guy was really blocking anybody, but Beck has moved his window up to the extent that, you know, I don't think it's a crying shame if they send him back down to AAA to get his regular at-bats, to build on what he's learned during this time. He's certainly not tearing the cover off the ball just yet, but man, at-bat to at-bat, you're seeing improvement. You're seeing the power show up. The defense plays well, and there is a part of me that would really love to see them, especially as we've talked about throughout the year, the most important thing being committing to the rebuild. Doing like they did with Tovar and Doyle last year, and regardless of the results, unless he really, really starts to eat it and you got to send him down for his confidence, which you're not at that spot at all. Right now, Beck is building his confidence. And so, you know, if it's up to me, I'm carving out ways to keep him in there. And so I'm putting Charlie at DH. I'm putting Bryant at first base because, frankly, you know, you do need to do those things. I understand a lot of people would just bench Bryant forever and ever, but that's not a reasonable thing to do. But I do think upon their returns, you go with Jones in left, you go with Beck in right, you go with Bryant at first, and you go with Charlie at DH most of the time. And yeah, as Derek points out, that might be it for Monty. And that's rough, man, because, you know, he, as we talked about earlier in the year, he was experiencing an extraordinary amount of bad luck. Lately, those numbers have come down and he isn't producing the kind of quality contact he was. And again, is that because he wasn't getting the results and now he's pressing? Is he a better hitter than this or not? It just hasn't manifest at the big league level for him yet. And whether it's, you know, again, sending him back down to the minors, or as I've talked about before, you're going to have to move some of these guys. You can't keep playing this game of who amongst Montero, Goodman, Tolia is going to figure it out. Now that you have one guy who looks like he really is demanding the playing time, and if you're going to continue to commit to the veteran who you've got signed for a long time, and I understand that, then yeah, you know, whether it's sending them down to AAA and or trading them, that's the only thing that you've got left to do, right? So I don't think there's a scenario where they keep Beck but put him on the bench. I think that's a terrible idea. He either needs to be getting regular playing time at the big league level or regular playing time in AAA. And that's the way you can kick that can down the road. If you really believe as an organization that Montero, even if you intend to trade him in a month's time, but you think he's going to get hot with the bat in that month, you think he's going to increase his value so that somebody might actually be willing to give you a decent, you know, even if it's just a AA or AAA reliever for Montero, which would feel terrible given the fact that, you know, there were times where in the minors he looked like he was really going to be a good hitter in this league. And like I said earlier, just hasn't manifest yet. But the clock is ticking on all of those guys. And it may end up being the case that since none of them proved themselves at the big leagues, none are going to be able to net the Rockies a whole lot in the long term. They won't be able to get much out of them. But in the grand scheme, Beck deserves the playing time. Speaking of making trades, and I sort of just answered this one, but to get a little deeper into it, Will asks about whether or not the front office has learned a lesson from back in 2017 and 2018 when they had the opportunity to trade some guys who were prospects and didn't. One that often sticks out to me during that time was a heavily rumored trade that would have had Brendan Rodgers going to Miami for JT Realmuto. And there's definitely an interesting alternate universe to think about had that played out. But I do think, you know, there's a lot of talk about whether or not the Rockies go outside the organization enough and what is there to be gained from doing that. Or I wish there was a little bit more conversation about what is there to be gained from things like institutional memory. But this is one of those things where I do think the fact that Bill Schmidt was around the organization, but not the GM at the time, that he's able to look back on moments like that and learn a bit. Yeah. And I do think that he has run things differently based on lessons he learned by watching his predecessors, primarily Jeff Breidich, but even, you know, Dan O'Dowd and Bill Guyvette. And, you know, being a lot more active about, you know, last year, and this goes to somebody asked here in a minute, you know, I think it's Evan asked whether or not the Rockies are going to be very active at the trade deadline. And I think, again, they will. You know, there were five moves last year. I think there are probably going to be more this year. I left out a part in the previous question. Those guys, Colby and Derek, went on to discuss a little bit about Jake Cave. But that's another guy who I think is very, very likely to be traded. And Evan also asked specifically about Cal Quantrill. Now, Cal, I would hang on to. At this point, I've seen enough from Cal Quantrill to be more interested in his possible future as a fourth or fifth rotation guy a year or two or even three from now, if you, because he doesn't pitch so well that you've got to sign him for big money. Right, I don't think he's pitching so incredibly well. He's not striking out a ton of guys. That's not his game. That he's ever going to command the massive contract that would always be a risk for the Rockies to sign any pitcher to. Right, Cal Quantrill seems to me like exactly the type of guy that they can get for a reasonable amount of money, who can be around the next several years and pitch well. Not, you know, ace, whatever that word means, right? But could be the fourth or fifth rotation guy on a good Rockies team once you're graduating players like Dolander, Sullivan, you know, hopefully another top-end draft pick, Chase Burns up in there, you know, whoever, right? You've if that's what you're adding there, I really like the idea of Quantrill as that type of pitcher. When they got him, my immediate thought went to guys like Aaron Cook or Kyle Freeland, who have used soft contact, smarts, not walking people, a strict adherence to not walking people, being incredibly competitive on the mound. And I've seen all of that from Cal Quantrill. So on the one hand, if somebody offers you a younger pitcher under longer team control, you know, whatever, and they think that Cal is their answer for the second half of the season, then you need to strongly consider that, and you probably should trade him. If he's got that kind of value, it's a rare instance where the Rockies should actually be trading pitching away, because he is a veteran, and there's no guarantee that you can lock him up long-term. They can hang on to him in arbitration next season, but it gets trickier after that. So you do need to field calls on him if you're getting them. But yeah, I am now much more interested in the possibility that he's one of those guys you can just keep around, who's going to kind of outpitch Coors Field, if that's such a thing. Yeah, so I would go that way. And Evan's got another part of this question, which is, you know, if you had to choose between Armand Marquez and Kyle Freeland to be the continued veteran of the rotation, who would you pick? And this is a very, very difficult question to answer right now, because both are on a current down trend, right? Obviously, Kyle Freeland was pitching very poorly when he got hurt. Marquez was pitching very, very well when he got hurt, but that feels like years ago at this point. So much has happened since the last time we saw Armand Marquez pitch. And you never know how a guy is going to respond to not only that serious of an injury, but then just that much time being off. I do think the smarter money is on Marquez, you know, just because the stuff is there. He's still younger than people realize. He's only getting into his 30s just now, you know. And so I think that it's probably Marquez, but, you know, there's always that factor with Freeland. He's had these downs at times in his career, 2019, for example, where he's figured out ways to bounce back. He is a very heady pitcher, which can both work for and against him at times, you know, but, and then you've got all the Denver and Coors and Colorado stuff that obviously plays up, and he's a great leader. You know, I don't know as well. It's harder for me to observe in the clubhouse, you know, certain things with Marquez, but because I don't speak Spanish, and but you know, even he's just a quieter guy in general, seems to be. Now maybe when the reporters leave the room, Marquez is the most boisterous guy in the clubhouse, but that's never really been the reports on him either. He's just a little more, whereas Kyle Freeland is, you know, the question was also about being a leader, and Kyle Freeland is an extraordinary leader. And so yeah, they both just bring very different things. I think one of the things that people aren't thinking about as much for why the Rockies could be competitive as early as next year is the possibility that those guys contribute as well. Senzatella, you can throw back in there. We'll see where that goes as far as contracts and health. And it gets even more complicated when you throw him in there. But there, at least now you can look at a bunch of different pitchers for the possibility of next year, throw Cal Quantrill back into the conversation. These young guys starting to come up. Carson Palmquist will certainly be a factor by next year, if not by next month. And so, yeah, this is starting to look far, far more interesting from a pitching standpoint. But like I said earlier, got to get more draft picks. So, yeah.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I was sort of answering multiple questions there. It was Evan or Tim or Will or one of you asked also as a part of that, you know, I started to get into how active will they be at the trade deadline. And that's where I want to end, because I do think it's going to be very active. And call me out on this if I'm wrong. But to be a little bit more specific, I think they have to trade at least one of those three first basemen we were talking about earlier, Montero, Goodman, Tolia. Probably two of those guys, but that depends on whether or not they've got value. You've got to trade at least one of your catchers. Again, if it was up to me, I'm trading both of them. I would be stunned if Jalen Beeks isn't traded. You know, again, that's just a guy who's been very, very, very good out of the bullpen, which is a luxury that your team just can't take advantage of right now, because the rest of the bullpen hasn't been good enough for that to matter, and the rest of the team hasn't been good enough for that to matter in terms of wins. And lefty relievers are one of the hottest commodities at the trade deadline that you can find. So it was also something that the Rockies were very happy to move last year with Brad Hand and, you know, Pierce Johnson not being a lefty reliever. But again, these veteran relievers who don't have a long history with the club, who had good first halves of the season, that's something they've shown. That's something that Bill Schmidt specifically has shown a willingness to do, if not an eagerness to do. And so despite the fact that I think he's endeared himself to the team very quickly and quite frankly been a breath of fresh air, if you're watching these games, you take a little bit of a sigh of relief when Jalen Beeks' name is called. And, you know, him and Vodnik have really been the only two reliable guys out of the bullpen the entire season. But yeah, I think you've got to trade Beeks. And again, I'd almost be stunned if they didn't. And if some of these other guys can get on a hot streak. You know, Tyler Kinley's overall numbers look terrible right now, but he's been better his last couple of times out. He's the type of guy who I could see getting on a hot streak and the Rockies deciding, you know, it's been ups and downs, had some injuries here and there. The contract's not long term. He's getting a little older. We love Tyler, but you know, we've got to take advantage of, again, relievers who are pitching well tend to be very hot commodities at the trade deadline. And that's the type of guy that I think that you can flip. You know, whereas, you know, younger players like Justin Lawrence and Victor Vodnik, who are still longer term projects, those guys are not guys you're looking at trading at all. Several questions from people both on Twitter and in my Discord chat about Ryan McMahon and Brendan Rodgers. I think those are just the massive X-factor questions in terms of trades. On the one hand, with Ryan McMahon, it makes all the sense in the world. He's having a career year at 29. Maybe it doesn't last. He is signed for another couple of years. Maybe you can get out from underneath. It's not a terrible contract, but it would free up some money if you traded him for some prospects. He's obviously got a great deal of value defensively, and this year he's been very consistent offensively. He's almost certainly your Colorado Rockies all-star. But that said, I've talked before about how I think he could be a very Charlie Blackman-esque figure for this team moving into the future and continuing to be an important part of the next good Rockies team. I think you could say the same thing about Brendan Rodgers, though we still haven't seen from him what we have out of McMahon this year, which is him taking that final step and being a consistent contributor on offense. He's tremendous defensively. He's been healthy, which has been great to see. He regularly gets off to these slow starts, so maybe if he gets hot, and because you do have more guys there at the middle infield, particularly Adiel Amador, who unfortunately for the Rockies is the one top prospect they have who's having a terrible start to the season. In a way, I talked about it before, he's walking a ton, but the guy can't buy a base hit, and that's his number one like big skill, is his contact skill. And so he's stuck in Double A right now for a minute, so you're not, you know, immediately ready to move on from either of these guys, I would say. But man, it's going to be tough to make an argument that a team that's going probably toward their second consecutive 100 loss season needs to hold on to both of these veteran players who do have value. The big question for me is, you know, where is Brendan Rodgers' value out there on the trade market? Would some contender believe that he's their answer at second base? Then you got to start looking at, right, there's a limited number of teams who are both contenders and need a new starting second baseman whose biggest contributing, you know, factor is defense. And then what are they willing to trade for that player? Now, maybe they believe, again, maybe his offense starts to click and they think, okay, he's going to contribute in both ways, but that gets very complicated. You could maybe get a pretty decent haul for Ryan McMahon, but are you, that is one of those things where, you know, with some of these guys, like when I say you trade Diaz and Stallings and Beeks XYZ, because that doesn't hurt your future in any tangible way, trading Ryan McMahon might. That's a tougher calculation to make, because it's not an automatic that in the next couple of years, you're going to have somebody in his place. If you want to break it down to the most basic, you know, WAR elements, who's giving you three win seasons every single year. You've got to go out and replace three, and this year it's going to be more like a 4.5, maybe 5 win season. And if you're trading him for prospects, you need someone in the next 2 or 3 years who can replace that value. Where I feel like, you know, I really love Brendan Rodgers. I've loved covering him, and I love watching him play defense. I feel like it's possible, you know, you can replace that value. It's harder right now to make that argument with Ryan McMahon, even if you think this is his one hot year and he's going to take a step back. The biggest reason being McMahon has been so healthy, so reliable, that he's going to give you that 3-win season, even if his offense goes back to being league average. And so for me, that's a 7-10 split on McMahon. I would have to be, if I'm in the front office, I would have to be blown away by offers. That'd have to be a pretty pitching heavy quality offer for me to trade Ryan McMahon right now. But if somebody offered some decent pitching for Brendan Rodgers, that's something you very seriously have to consider. Ultimately, I suppose last year I put the over under at, I think it was 2.5, because I was still a little bit scared that the Rockies just generally don't do this, right? But then Bill Schmidt did not full on, but he did 5. And so he cleared that easily.
I feel like they're going to make at least four. So what I'm trying to figure out to put the over under at 3.5, 4.5. I guess I should put it at 4.5 because I think, again, one of those young first basemen, one reliever, probably Jalen Beeks, one of the catchers, and then I guess just broadly speaking, one other. Could be another reliever, could be the other catcher, could be another one of those first basemen, could be either McMahon or Rogers, could be even just one of those random, you know, minor league things of two players that most people haven't even heard of. But, you know, those, I think Jake Cave, that's another one I haven't mentioned earlier, but that's another guy who, you know, I don't think people talk a ton about in terms of this, but I think that's what he's largely around for. And because he can play like elite level defense at three different outfield spots and takes a pretty good veteran at bat, I do think he's the kind of guy that has value at the deadline. Not a lot, but you'll get something for him. You get something for Mike Moustakas. You can get something for Jake Cave. But yeah, I guess I'll bump it up by two. That's the number. I'll put it at 4.5. Now I'm not sure if I want to take the over because I don't know for sure that, well, I don't know for sure any of this. We're all guessing at the future. But five is what they did last year, but still seems high. One of those, I am counting the Moustakas trade, which technically came like 3 weeks before the trade deadline. But still, that's more or less what we're talking about here, right? How many moves are they actually going to make that show that they are committed to this rebuild, which is the bigger thing? You can't force other teams to trade for your guys that don't have value, a la Jerks and Profar last year, which, man, is that aggravating to watch because he was just so terrible last year and now all of a sudden he's just whatever. But you're right, you can't always force it, and that's a little bit of the trick, as I've talked about with like Montero. How much value does he really have? But ultimately, yeah, I think they're going to be very, very active. So I'll put it at 4.5, and with a little bit of trepidation I will take the over. I got a few more fun questions for later, but let's do that next time. I talk for a half an hour here, so let's save a couple of these and do another one here in a day or two. Thank you all for listening into this episode of 20th and Blake here on the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. Make sure you're checking out Mile High Sports on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and all that good stuff. And of course, over at milehighsports.com for all of that written content. Other than that, I can only ever ask that you remain absolutely awesome out there. I will remain absolutely Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, I will see you at the ballpark.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noon hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything, because anything can happen after noon.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.